You are listening to On The Wire, Racing TV's Irish racing podcast.
Yeah, that is extremely snazzy music for the return of On The Wire and the return of race scores for a jumps meeting at Leopardstown after the controversy of Christmas. They're back for the Dublin Racing Festival. What an absolute extravaganza we have on today. We have Robbie Power, who unbelievably is riding Manila Indo. Robbie was actually booked earlier in the week, have to admit, hadn't a breeze that he'd end up Manila Indo. He's just back in action, and he's a lovely select book rides on the Saturday, and we'll be talking about the Sunday as well. We're also joined by Brendan Duke, the man himself, and Frankie Foster of Love Island will be on later on, but we've so much to discuss. Starting with you, Dukey, how have you been?
Yeah, I mean, I've been pretty good. It's been great to be back racing. I've been on a pretty poor run of punting the last couple of weeks, but hopefully put that right at the weekend.
Robbie, you were out a long, long time.
I was a lot longer than I care to mention. 14th of October, I got the fall and came back last week. Had a nice ride to start back on San Felician and Nace. He was second and had a few spins in Punchestown and Limerick. So all fit and raring to go for the Dublin Racing Festival.
So I was reading today in the Irish Times, Poppy, that 23 successive days, the Phoenix Park weather station hadn't rained in January. Now, that is absolutely insane, but it just gives some idea for the challenges that Leopardstown faced with ground. Can you relate to the problems that Lough and Wire face?
I can. It's extremely difficult, and it's something you expect to be dealing with in the summertime. But Leopardstown drained the race course about 10 years ago, and that was a mistake, especially right. The drainage they've done on the chase track. It's overdrained. It's a national hunt track, and okay, my flat counterparts would probably disagree, but even for flat racing, I think Leopardstown, they water a lot during the summer as well, and it's backfired a little bit on them, the unseasonal weather we're having as well, and this is not just a one-off, it's happened the last few years, but Lough and Wire and his team and the team in Leopardstown apparently have been doing a fantastic job. They put over, I think, nearly 200 millimetres of water on it since Christmas, which is unbelievable. And I hope it is perfectly yielding, if no quicker than yielding ground, because that's what you want for horses, for proper national hunt horses heading towards the Cheltenham Festival.
We have 5 tickets to give away as well for the Saturday, and we'll tell you about that later on. It's very, very simple to enter. Dukey, what do you make of the ground situation? I'm sure it won't put you off returning to the track in Foxwark.
No, I mean, Gordon walked the track there on Wednesday, was it? And he said he was delighted with it. So I suppose I don't know what he was expecting, but it is a tightrope they're walking, trying to please the National Hunt fraternity and the flat fraternity. And I'm not sure what they're going to do about it. But Robbie's probably onto something. Cheltenham have a similar problem. The drainage is too good. What I don't understand is they put so much water on it. Does the water from the sky not count as much as artificial water?
It doesn't rain. It doesn't rain in Dublin anymore, Dukey. This is what I'm telling you.
They've put 120 mils or something on it. Now, I know you're just chomping at the bit to jump on your climate change soapbox there. But, I mean, 120 mils would be a normal rainfall in December / January, would it? I don't know. But it seems like they put a lot of water on, but as Robbie says, it just goes through it like a dose of salts.
Dukey's talking absolute nonsense. We've had one of the driest Januaries in history, or certainly one of the driest Januaries in a long, long time. Anyway, that
as far as our history going back,
well, a long, long time. Anyway, we leave it at that. We leave it at that and start off with our preview of the race. I can't wait to get to the big one and ask Robbie about the Manila Indo ride. Fascinating stuff. Let's start with the 105, though, and we'll show the key form line to this race. We'll show now is essentially that grade one at Nace, in which what do we have? The race was won, obviously, by Ginto, but back in... So we're coming into the straight here. We've Hollow Games in the green hat, who's going to stay on very nicely. Poppy, he's hot favourite for the first on Saturday.
Yeah, he is, and I'm a bit surprised he is favourite. I was a little bit disappointed with him in Nace. I think stepping up in trip 2 furlongs will definitely suit him. But I don't see why he's favourite ahead of Grand Jury. Grand Jury travelled very strongly into the race in Nace. For me, He looked like the winner, sort of turning in just before the video clip started, and then I think got outstayed by Ginto. He still stays on and beats Hollow Games. I think Hollow Games is favoured on his form before this. And Grand Jury is bound to improve for this as well, because that was only his second start over hurdles. He'd won a maiden, so that's another run under his belt. I think he should be favoured ahead of Hollow Games. I think Manella Crooner is very interesting for me with a line through Journey With Me. He was second to Journey With Me in a maiden hurdle at Christmas. Came out then and bolted up over 3 miles in a maiden hurdle in Punchestown. And I think Manella Crooner, there's Manella Kakuna and Manella Crooner. Gordon Elliott's one. Manella Crooner is the one that could be the fly in the ointment.
Yeah, and obviously what he want was the horse there that was weakening back in the fifth. You wouldn't really necessarily fancy to reverse the form, but a bit like Poppy there, Grand Jury was more or less holding Hollow Games going to the line. And then you added in that Paul Townend, Dukey's riding Braun, and then you add in the fact that your nap of the whole meeting comes in this race.
Well, it was just a price thing, because unfortunately the theme of this show, when you keep coming back to me, is me tipping the fab. So I wanted to try and find something at a price. I was a bit surprised that Manella Crooner was the price he was. He's a 6-1 shot or around that. I really like that Journey With Me form. Now, we're not going to take the run of Kilcrut literally. He doesn't seem to have performed in his first two starts this season, but much more like it in Punchestown during the week. But I do like that Journey With Me, and I would have been all over and be run here. I'm not gone on Hollow Games. He's not a brilliant jumper. Eric Bloodaxe just really struggles with jumping hurdles. I think he'll be found out here. I didn't think this was the deepest race in the world, but Nella Crooner's an improving horse, a really good-looking horse to look at as well. And I thought 6-1. It was a much bigger price than I was expecting.
I wouldn't entirely rule out Freedom to Dream as well. He was behind Eric Bloodaxe's Limerick, but he's had obviously been difficult to train. That was only his second run back. He wasn't beaten all that far on desperate ground. This might suit better. It's time for the Racing TV €12 per month. This weekend only, Juvenile Hurdle, the Grade 1. And happily, the VT you're about to watch here is of my fancy in the race, that is Field Door. Juki, start with you. I thought he did it here at Leopardstown over Christmas in a really, really nice manner. He beat the second by a lot further than he beat him the time before. I don't see any flies in the ointment of this horse whatsoever. In what does look a pretty hot juvenile division at the minute.
Yes, certainly. And this Vauban was a massive talking horse over Christmas. It's clearly considered a fair tool, but he'll have to be. You'll see Fedor travel lovely, jumped lovely. When he jumps the last, he pricks his ears to suggest he's a little bit left in the tank. And I was surprised he wasn't favoured. Vauban will have to be all they think he is to take care of Fedor.
And obviously we saw a brilliant performance by Pied Piper at Cheltenham last Saturday, which obviously boosted the form credentials of Vauban. I find this a fascinating race, Robbie.
Fascinating. It looks a match between the two, with Fedor and Vauban. Pied Piper, as you said, has given Vauban's form a huge boost. And if Vauban improves for that run in Punchestown, where he didn't jump great, and he's bound to improve, because juveniles always do improve, and especially coming out of Willie Mullins, I think he will improve for that first start. He's going to be a big threat to Fildor. But I'm in your camp as well. I think Fildor is... I love his attitude. He's a great way of racing. He kind of races half behind the bridle. And he showed a good turn of foot when he won in Fairy House back in November, because that was a slowly run race. I think a strong gallop, this horse is crying out for it. He'll probably get that here. And I'm not going to oppose him. I think until he gets beaten, I'm going to stick with Fildor.
And we're only in the third Grade 1 of the entire meeting, but we're also in the second nap from the lads. And let's just look at one of the key form lines of the Patrick Ward and Coast Lister's Irish Arkle Novice Steeplechase. And this was the performance of Riviere Detail, albeit in defeat at Christmas behind Fernie Ollo, who was then obviously hot favourite for the Arkle, only to suffer a setback and get a blow from that. Robbie, this was such a game performance. Obviously, she was in receipt of a lot of weight from the winner, but she's actually your idea of the nap of the weekend.
Yeah, I strongly fancy Riviera Detail. I think for a five-year-old, she's an exceptional jumper. She really attacks her fences. And I think this was a hell of a good run behind Fernie Hollow. She stayed on again at the line. Blue Lord is a very, very good horse, but no disrespect to him. I don't think he's in the same league as Fernie Hollow, and he's going to have to give her £9. She brings the best line of form from all these horses over fences. Her line of form is the strongest of all these. She's only been beaten the once, and that was by Fernie Hollow. Blue Lord won his beginner's chase impressively in Fairy House. Then he beat two staying chasers in Nace in the three runner contest. Embittered is not good enough. Bustleton is game, but he's not good enough. Hotong Colors and St. Sam have been good with what they've done, but they haven't got the same level of form as Riviera Town. And I think at the prices, with the weight she's getting, £7 and £9 off arrivals, I think she'll be very hard to beat.
The other thing about her, Juki, the performance at Christmas, she pulled absolutely miles clear of Curse of Bleem. I thought he'd run a better race than he did. I think he just wasn't able to go anywhere near them like he was, because he gave Fernie Hollow something of a race at Punchtown prior to that. He was absolutely left for dead. He did win his maiden since at Gorn, but it was a brilliant performance, I thought, in defeat, as such as things exist.
Yeah, no, I mean, I had a good bet on her that day. I thought her jumping would put pressure on Fernie Hollow's jumping, and she jumped really well. Unfortunately for my bet, but fortunately for purists of the National Hunt game, Fernie Hollow put in an exceptional round of jumping. And Blue Lord, if he's going to give her the weight, would probably have to do the same. But he is, I mean, he just looks a much more relaxed model over fences. He gives himself a chance in the races. He's barely put a foot wrong so far. I thought the reason he didn't win further in Nace was because they took out a couple of the fences. I just think he's a different horse. He never really gave himself a chance over hurdles because he was so keen. Fences have relaxed him, or maybe age has mellowed him, I don't know. But whatever it is, and I thought he'd be able to give her the weight.
If you visit http://racingtv.com/OTW comp, you'll be able to have a chance to win 5 tickets for Leopardstown on Saturday. And if you do win, you will get to see Robbie Power riding Manila Indo. Now, I was doing a quick control and F to find how many rides does Robbie Power have on Saturday. And I had to blink twice when I saw this, Robbie. How long did you know this was going to happen, and how excited are you by the prospects?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, obviously. I went down to Henry's on Wednesday morning and schooled him at Indo, jumped 4 fences on him. He looks fantastic. He felt in great form. He's very fresh and well of himself. And it's a great race to be riding in. You know, it looks a very interesting renewal of the Irish Gold Cup, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Do you expect him to put his troubles behind him, put it that way?
I don't think he has a whole lot of troubles. He ran bad in a King George. He's not the first horse to run bad in a King George. Chantry House pulled up and he won in Cheltenham the other day. I rode lost in translation in a King George. He pulled up. He finished 3rd in a Gold Cup, you know. Kempton is a unique place. It suits some horses. It doesn't suit others. It obviously didn't suit Manel Indo. It didn't suit Chantry House. Chantry House has come out and won since. And hopefully Manel Indo can do the same.
I know it's early days, but like, is the implication is you're getting the right, because obviously Rachel may not be on this horse come March. And are you hoping you might stick to this alliance later on into the season?
We'll see how Saturday goes first. I was asked to go down and school him, and Henry asked me to come down and school him. Went down and school him on Wednesday, and I'm looking forward to riding him on Saturday. You know, he's the reigning Gold Cup champion. He's a very, very good horse. And he should hopefully run a big race.
We'll just look back on one of the key form lines down to this race now, which was obviously basically the big race at Christmas, in which Kenboy was a very honourable third to Galvin and at Plutard. And obviously, Juki, the two, as we mentioned there, they don't show up. But for me, Kenboy is actually probably the most solid horse in this race.
I'm not necessarily not having it. I think it's between himself and Froden. It's a stone match, the race. I mean, unless Robbie's qualified as an equine psychiatrist in his absence, Manella Indo has just gone at the game. I think he'd have 2 more runs in his career and pull up in both of them. Mount Ida goes right, badly right. At the same can be said of Willie's horse. I don't think the track will suit them. So I think it's a stone match, and I just about came down on the side of Froden, but I can see your argument.
Sorry, Robbie, can you just respond to that? Because Juki's capable of some unbelievable comments at times, but clearly this horse is not gone at the game.
That a comment like that now hardly warrants a response.
That's what we like to hear.
I don't fancy Froden. Paul Nichols is the master trainer at getting a horse ready first time out in the season. He had Down Royal pinpointed as Froden's Gold Cup for the year. His record in the Gold Cup in Cheltenham is he was never going to win a Gold Cup. So Down Royal was his Gold Cup. His run in the King George was was average for a horse that handles Kempton as well as he does. His run in the King George was average. And I don't think he's going to improve anything for that. I think Kemboy's form around Leopardstown is rock solid. You know, it's very hard to fault Kemboy. He won this race before. And he's the one we probably all have to beat on form. You know, that run the last day was a very, very good run. And I think he's the big one we have to beat.
What do you like the rest of the card, Robbie?
I think the bumper is an absolutely cracking race. So many horses that were so impressive on their last starts. All seven
last time out winners.
All seven won on their last start. The Big Doyen was hugely impressive in Punchestown. Sandor Kilgain was very good in Punchestown as well. Facile Vega at Leopardstown was spectacular as well. And Gordon Elliott's runner, it's what unites us as well. This is a very, very good race. You could be looking at 3 or 4 stars of the future in this. And I'm not going to put my hat down to say what's definitely going to win it. I like the Big Doyen. I think he's a really nice horse going forward for the future. But it's going to be a really interesting race, the bumper.
Juki.
Just a couple, Johnny. Robbie makes a fair point about that bumper. I'll have a small bet on Sandor Clegane because I was just so taken with him in Punchestown. You can pick holes in the form, although the second and fourth aren't useless. And it's like Robbie says, you just have to take a chance on any one or a number of horses you could like in the race. And the 2:45, this right place, right time. I see he's 20-1. He was off the boards last time out in Haydock. Ran badly, but the firm that owns him and trains him, for that matter, they know the time of day, and it would suggest that the horse is well handicapped and you could take a chance at a big price.
You can get 6 each replaced on that horse. I think he's a great bet. I think he'll be back. He's mildly out of the handicap, but he's actually lucky to get in. So it's pros over cons, really, for him. And that brings us on to Sunday as well. Puppy, there's only one place to start here, and that is the Ladbrokes Novice Steeplechase, second race in. And the performance of Galopin Deschamps at Leopardstown the last day. This was a performance that had people talking from the beginner's chase more than they were talking about grade ones over the course of the 4 days. Was there an overreaction in terms of betting and making so short for Cheltenham, or did he just wow you like he basically wowed everyone else?
If there was one horse in all the novice races over the weekend that I'd love to ride, it's this lad.
Yes.
His jumping was spectacular. Yes, the form of the race, you can make what you want out of it. The horse that finished second has since been beaten in a 3-mile beginner's chase in Navan. So you can make what you want out of the form of the race, but you could not have been more impressed with the way this horse went about it. He jumped from fence to fence. It was just so, so impressive. He just gained so much ground through the air. He lands running. I mean, when he went past the winning post, Paul Townley was nearly in the back straight again before he got him pulled up. And that just goes to show you how much he had left. He's put decent horses behind him. They're not duds in behind. They are decent horses, and he's absolutely blown them apart. It was a breathtaking performance. And as I said, if I was jockeying at one horse that I could ride over the weekend, this would be the one.
I totally agree with everything you said there. And Juki, he's obviously a very, very good hurdler. So it's not like this came out of the blue either. But the way he attacked his fences, it's one of the beautiful things. Winter follows summer every year, and you see this horse that comes along and he just looks a slightly different animal. This fella looks almost an even more better animal in terms of the way he jumps, and you imagine just the awe in the crowd as he attacks his fences at Leopardstown on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean the big problem, I was lucky enough to be there when he won over Christmas, and the big problem was his best jump was the fence past the stands, but with the camera angle and the way you're looking at it head on, or well, head on reverse, if you will, so you can only just gather how he did it by virtue of having looked at other horses jump that fence. He must have stood off at the wings of it and cleared it by a good 20 feet on the other side. I think it might go down as the greatest jump and the most underappreciated jump of all time. As Robbie says, and you said, it was a series of breathtaking leaps. Hopefully he goes and does it again at the weekend, because we're all in for a treat if he does.
And that we're absolutely all in for a treat. And we're in for a treat as well in the Ladbrokes Dublin Steeplechase. This was won last year by Shaq and Pertois, who's obviously bidden for his third successive win in the race. This was his performance you'll see now on the VT in the race last year. The problem is, Poppy, we just have to get over the Tingle Creek. I'm prepared to forgive him for this because he was sore reportedly for 2 or 3 days after the race. For me, he's actually a backable price here because if he performs, he'll win.
He probably will. It'll be interesting to hear what Duke has to say about him when he said about Manetta. He was so bad in the Tingle Creek, it couldn't be right. And when you look down through what's in this race, Grenadine is a decent horse in his own right. But there's nothing in here. If he turns up half right, there's nothing in here to beat him. Captain Guinness was third in the Tingle Creek. Grenadine won the Tingle Creek. If he's half right, he wins here. If he doesn't win here, you can forget about him. But I was lucky enough to ride this horse in Punchestown one day, and he's got a huge engine. He'll go from the front, and I'd be amazed if he doesn't bounce back to his form.
I remember that day in Punchestown. I actually had him back to Antipost, and you rode him with extreme confidence out wide for an inexperienced horse. You were just like, nothing can go wrong here.
Yeah, well, that's what Willie said. In fairness, he was a horse going into a Grade One against the Arkell winner, the JLT winner at the time. It was the hottest novice chase of the season over 2 mile, and he was coming in off the back of one run in an ordinary beginner's chase in Punchestown. So it was getting him around and see what he could do was the main sort of aim. But he jumped fantastic. He touched wood, is a very, very good jumper. But I'd be amazed if anything in here troubles him if he's back to half anything like his best.
And that's the thing, Juki. You're getting 5-6 about a horse running his race, even one that disappointed the last day. That's good enough for me.
Well, in the words of Jules Winfield, Johnny, allow me to retort. Chacun Pourçois is a very, very different horse to Manella Indo and runs at a very, well, his target is a very different race. 2 mile chasers, the Gold Cup, the Cheltenham Gold Cup is a widow maker of a race. And Manella Indo, from very early on in his chasing career, looked to have his own ideas about the game. So when they turn sour in a hurry. That's my theory on him. Chacun Pourçois has always been a very enthusiastic racer. He seems to love the game. We know he loves Leopardstown. I would definitely give him a pass for the Tingle Creek, and I thought he'd win here.
One mare who's never turned sour, and I think will be in national mourning if she does, is Honeysuckle, who's bidding to win yet again in the Chanel Pharma Irish Champion Hurdle. We're not going to stay too long with this race, Puppy, but we will look back on her performance in it last year. I've taken her on a couple of occasions on the basis that she mightn't be quick enough for 2 miles. Her price was too short, blah, 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 blah. It was west, whatever day of the week it was. She just wins, and she shows no sign whatsoever stopping her enjoyment of racing.
It'd be very, very hard to oppose her. Her performance in the Hatton's Grace was as good as ever. I thought she was breathtaking in that. And the same route she's going, the same route to the Champion Hurdle again, comes here. I think she'll win. I hope it'll be interesting to see with Appreciated and Zanahir. Zanahir improved a lot from the Morgiana to his run at Christmas. I think he's a horse, he's only a 5-year-old, so he's entitled to be on the improve. But I just don't think he's good enough to trouble Honeysuckle. I just think she's get £7 off them and she's in a different league.
What can possibly go wrong, Juki?
What could possibly go wrong? So I managed not to lay Honeysuckle for the first time in ages in Fairy House in the Hatton's Grace, and I won't be laying her here. So it looks like I'm finally learning my lesson. I'll enjoy watching another procession.
Our final Grade One of the festival is the Tattersalls Ireland Novice Hurdle, and I am extremely excited by Sir Gerhard here. I think if you look at various form lines, he holds pretty much everyone here in some shape or form. If you're to say that Statuaire isn't in his same kind of calibre at home, which I imagine is the case, that would give him an edge over my mate Mozzie, who I think is probably a little bit vulnerable anyway. I know Sir Gerhard was beaten at Punchdown last year. I also know that he didn't beat maybe an awful lot in his hurdling debut. Robbie, I absolutely just love the way he attacks his hurdles, and I think he's a horse as a 2 mile hurdler. He's going to be something like an O'Connor, who was also by Jeremy. Extremely good jumper, very, very quick, very, very good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Sir Gerhard, and it's going to be really interesting to see what happens, because I think Willie Mullins is going to have to split him and Dicer Dynamo up. To me, Dicer Dynamo doesn't look like a horse that's going to go much further than 2 miles this year. Anyway. And I think this horse is a horse that could benefit from a step up in trip. It's a good race. Obviously, no Mighty Potter. My mate Mozzie is a good guideline. Three Stripes Life as well, and Statuaire, who won the Royal Bond. But I'd imagine Sir Gerhard should be good enough to take care of these. But it'll be interesting seeing what manner he takes care of them, as to what Willie Mullins decides going forward with them, because I think he has the likely Supreme Novices winner in Dicer Dynamo at home. So what's he going to do with Sir Gerhard?
That's a fascinating idea, Juki, because if he were to stay the 2-5, which I think there's every suggestion that he will, I remember Philip Rothwell training the Dan Fanon Aldar, who is essentially, she stayed 2-5. So you'd imagine your boy, Jeremy, out of a mare who stayed 2-5, shouldn't be an issue. Imagine the toll this fellow would have over 2-5 if he stayed.
Yes, and he gives himself every chance to stay. I was struck by, again, I saw him over Christmas and I'd never seen him before due to, well, we won't go into that, but I hadn't had the chance to see him before, but I was struck by how difficult it is to judge horses on the television, because I had him down as a little bit small, maybe a bit, little bit lightly made. Now, you could argue he's not the tallest horse in the world, but he's really deep girth, really strong, stands over a lot of ground. He's a proper national hunt type. As you say, he couldn't have jumped better on debut. And I was half tempted to back Mighty Potter against him here, but Mighty Potter doesn't run anymore, so I thought Sir Gerhard would win.
Before we get to Frankie Foster, anything else for the rest of Sunday's card, Juki?
Oh yeah, there's an interesting race, the 410. It's a handicap hurdle. So Bally Adam, I mean,
he's a
Bally
fascinating
Adam.
One now.
He is interesting. I don't know what he traded in the international hurdle, but it must have been pretty short. He travels like the absolute wrath of God in the race. Now, he found nothing, and he's had his issues with jumping fences, and maybe he'll become one of these twilight horses, but at a big price with, well, I was thinking you'd get a good pace to run at because it's a big field handicap hurdle, but the only pace I could find in the race was this Mighty Top. But maybe if they can get a bit of colour on cover on Bally Adam, maybe he'll settle a bit better and find something off the bridle. It's just, is he one you could take a chance at a price?
What about you, Poppy? And you're looking forward to riding on the Sunday otherwise?
Yeah, not a bad shout now from Juki with Bally Adam. He's a grade one horse.
You're back in love.
In a handicap. I wouldn't write him off. I think he could have a chance. I like Top Bandit in the same handicap hurdle. Won a maiden hurdle in Cheltenham and came back and has won a couple of rated hurdle races. So he gets in off a mark of 135. I think there could be a lot more improvement from Top Bandit. I think he should be very, very competitive in this race.
So the man about to join us now is the Love Island star, Frankie Foster. I was just reading about him today. He launched his exciting new racing career after falling for the sport while working in a chip shop. Now, Frankie, can you explain that to me? I fell for the sport by being basically bored out of my bin in college. I went to the local bookies and asked a few people, a few kind of fellow like down and outs, what was going on. Here we are 20 years later. What's your excuse?
Yeah, not glamorous either, mine, starting in a chip shop, but that was the first exposure I got to racing, but to the Cheltenham Festival. Grew up in Cheltenham, and people watching might even know the chippy. It's called Popeyes, and it's as you get off the train or come back from the racecourse on a bus to the train station, and people just used to pile in there. So when I was about 14, 15, I worked in there. And wanted to know what all the fuss was about race week, which led to me when I was 16 or 17 going to my first Gold Cup. So, yeah, it started in the chip shop. And then my first exposure to racing full stop, my first day at the races was Gold Cup Friday. So you don't really start off better than that.
Who won the Gold Cup that day?
That day was Bobsworth.
Oh, wow.
Hero. Brown, yeah. Who I backed. I knew nothing about racing. I don't think I'd ever had a bet. But the lads I was with knew a little bit more than me. They were farriers. And they backed Bobsworth and I piled in too. And it was a good day. You know what? That day, it sounds ridiculous, really. Again, I didn't know a thing about racing and I went for the day out. But I didn't even see a horse that day. I barely made it past the first bar at Cheltenham. Had a great day out. but from there, went back again and again and slowly and luckily got more involved in the sport.
That's often the case for me at Cheltenham, even when I'm working there, Frankie. You never see a horse at all. But I do remember Robbie Power winning the Gold Cup and sizing John, meeting you in Birmingham Airport, Robbie, and actually bunging a cigarette off you just after you'd won the Gold Cup as we waited our flight home.
Yeah, that's you, Johnny. Always the bum.
I mean, especially in the company we're in today, that's very hard. Could we win the Gold Cup again, of course, this year? Who knows? If Juki has his way, he obviously won't be. But Frankie, you'll be part of the Racing TV race day team on Sunday.
I will, yes. And it'll be my first time over in Ireland. First time Dublin, first time Leopards Town. So I'm thoroughly looking forward to it. We'll be there with the famous, or not quite famous, Orange Mike. I'm trying to make it famous. And our job is, as well as looking at the racing, to get involved and chat to punters, which will be exciting because it's been a long time coming for Irish racegoers. And I'm sure there'll be a fair few English travelling over as well. You know, we don't get the chance to see these grade ones. You know, I think Cheltenham punters are often waiting for the festival to come around and see these horses. So I know there'll be a fair share of English going over. And a lot of Irish punters that are keen to get back racing after a long time. So I'm just going to soak it all up, soak up the buzz of the crowd and the good racing.
If there's one horse you want to maybe advise him to have a look at, Robbie, it's Galloping Deschamps.
Yeah, Galloping Deschamps is the novice chaser all eyes are going to be on. And hopefully he will go and do what we expect him to do on Sunday, because that's going to set up a Mount Waterland clash, I would imagine, with Bob Ollinger at the Cheltenham Festival. I think if Galloping Deschamps wins and wins well on Sunday, I can't see Willie Mullen stepping him up in Tripler 3 miles the way he jumps and travels. I think he's stick at 2.5, and that will be a great clash to see in Cheltenham, Bob Ollinger and Galloping Deschamps.
Some very, very big calls by the lads today, but it is time to wrap up and get the naps. Do remember to gamble responsibly. All races, obviously, are on Racing TV over the 2 days. Race TV Extra for all the coverage as well from that track alone. And it's going to be so, so exciting. It is time for the naps now, and we will start with you, Juki.
Manella Crooner, 105 on Saturday.
Frankie.
I originally had down Sir Gerhard because I thought it was just slightly overpriced, but I'm going to back out and go Chapin Pessoir.
That's an interest. I think you can be on for a double there in any event. What's your
and that double?
That double's okay, Frankie, actually, yeah. What about yours, Poppy?
Yeah, the tail on Saturday in the Arkle Novice Chase. I think getting the weight, I think she's a good price. I think she'll take plenty of beating.
My nap over the 2 days is Finest Evermore in the 12:45. I thought she ran a blinder on her return, and she was a horse that was basically short prices and unbeaten going into that race. This is a race that Willie Mullins actually has a poor record in this race. I think it honours his dad, Paddy, this is the fifth renewal since it's been named after Willie's dad, Paddy. It's his only entry in the race, and for me, she looks like she could be a class act. Stays very well. I don't think she'll have an issue dropping back in trip. Lads, thanks a million. Just Poppy, just to wish you the best over the weekend. All going well. It's your return from injury anyway.
Yeah, all feels good. I've had a few rides now and everything feels good. So, yeah, unfortunately missed Christmas, but this has been the aim since Christmas, and really looking forward to the weekend.
And a hunk like yourself with so much experience of this sort of thing. Juki, any advice for Frankie as to how to chat to the ladies at Leopardstown?
Chat to the ladies at Leopardstown. What would I talk? Yeah, just talk about the horses. They're absolute purists of the game. I find that's I've actually never met a woman talking about horses in Leopardstown. But there's a first time for everything. So let variance be our friend to keep talking about horses.
Frank, you've got to say hello to them if you meet them on Sunday.
I can keep talking horse. That's sure. It's a good job the headphones are in. I'll be getting a telling off from the missus with this chat, but I'll be doing my best to get around and interview as many people as possible.
Thanks to Frankie. Thanks to Juki. Thanks to Poppy. That was on the wire. Can't wait to see you at Leopardstown. And until next time, we'll talk to you then.
It's Gerard de Menil and Paul Townend in the opening grade one. This horse is unquestionably walking tall, Chapin Pessoir, an argument by a romping 10, 12 lengths from Franklin de Port. Just to go forward the line, away from the sea, from Top Moon, away from the seas, just won it. Chitani Sokol and Rachel Blackmore, two stars aligned. Retain the Chanel Farm Irish Champion Hurdle. Drop the anchor in Simon Torrance for J.P. McManus. Kiltruitt is storming clear. Heaven help us, we'll just see it out. Felixius looks as well as ever in the Tattersall's Ireland Spring Juvenile Hurdle. It's much appreciated. Another top trim Leopard's Town performance. It's Maze Runner and Conor McNamara. Another score for Willie Mullins. Bobfish is running rings around them here as the grade ones pile high for Bobfish. It's Kenboy. They're not getting to Kenboy in the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup. Fafjordo comes to life at this meeting. This isn't the icing on the cake, is it? Yes, it is.